Welcome to Wrestling with the Truth, the podcast for every pro wrestling fan. We've got heated debate, great guests, top 10 lists, reviews, previews, and so much more. And now here are your hosts, BC Hunter and the Nightmare, Jay Myers. All right, everybody, it is BC and Jay, and we are here welcoming you to what we have decided is going to be the final episode of Wrestling with the Truth for 2022. Jay, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel sad and warm and tingly all at the same time, because it means we got big things to come, big things popping, little things stopping, as I always say. I totally created that, did not steal that from anyone. And it doesn't sound familiar. Kind of sad that we're going to take a couple weeks off, but it's well deserved. I think we've had a good run here, and it's been a busy year. Busy few weeks for sure.
It has been. I mean, we've been having guests. We've been doing episodes. I've been jumping on other people's podcasts. You've been jumping on podcasts.
You are just the main man here. You're just aficionado, producer, star guest, star commentator, star videographer. You should have a whole list.
Well, we got to get the word out there some way, we got to get it out somehow. So you got to work the angles, as they say, right?
Yeah. Got to keep the gimmick alive.
Yeah, and I mean, in 2022, we took on the extra responsibility of the YouTube channel, and I mean, that's always a little extra to do. But there's where the videography comes from. But it's been it's been fun. I've been getting to express my creative juices, as they say.
They're flowing.
Titillating my creative juices.
Titillating, such a good word.
Yeah, but we thought for this episode, since we did a look back on 2022 last episode, we'd do a look ahead to 2023. But of course, before we do any look aheads, we do want to say a few shout outs and thank yous to some, just some amazing accounts that have really come in and just been so supportive of us. It's been amazing. Like, we've made some friends along the way here. We've had great support from people. I'm just blown away actually by all of it, to be quite honest. Like, again, we always joke about we're just two nobodies from Nova Scotia that have done a wrestling podcast because we like to watch wrestling. Yeah. And it's turned into this I don't know what you want to call it, like this kumbaya circle of supportive
I think just supportive cast. Community that's the way I like to see it.
I never thought this was going to be the end result of it. I thought, maybe we'd have some listeners that would, talk to us.
We envisioned us alone in your setup, like doing 50 shows where no one listened and we were just talking to ourselves and laughing. So that was also going to be fun, but this is much more fun.
And whether we, could actually get like our moms to listen to the show or something.
Or anyone to believe that we actually had them.
Oh man, it's just been absolutely nuts. But it's humbling, is what I would say. It's humbling, but
yeah. But it is exciting because we have learned quite a bit. We've met a ton of good, great people, and it just means that we got some good things ahead, right? I mean, it means we're no less enthused to keep pushing onward and upwards.
I agree totally. So let's just give a moment. Well, let's give a moment. Yeah, for sure. So first off, there's no particular order. No favorites are played here. These are just a few names that came to mind.
We'll let people ponder themselves and what order they should be in.
And of course, I mean, we can't get everybody, but these are just some ones that definitely we felt.
It's like an Academy Awards speech. You just kind of throw it out there and see what sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's first off thank the Smack Draw crew. And so that's Kyle, or Kyantai, as he's been now officially renamed.
Choppy choppy pee pee.
RN and his band of potential monkeys that he's going to have. Killer monkeys, it sounds like. Door-to-door monkeys.
At least ninja monkeys.
Yes. Will from Bot Spots and Chair Shots. Ted the Hillbilly Heel. I mean, Ted the Hillbilly Heel is so supportive. It's just been unbelievable. The guy is, as referred to on other podcasts, the Pod Father, and I think he is becoming that. Got to thank Ted for all his support. Allison and Bobby Mack as well from Botch and Chair Shots. Bama Dave from the Bama Chatter podcast. Bama has been a guest on our show as well as I've been on his show just as most recently, coming so close in that trivia wheel of wrestling contest, but I lost to another person we'd like to shout out, Kyle from the Apron Bump. So kudos to you, Kyle. I will be back next year though to get
win.
Yep. Steve McCachran, local boy, local favorite of ours. He also has his own podcast, the Bruins Fastcast, and I highly encourage you folks to give that a listen and support our friend Steve. It's literally a 6 to 7 minute episode. So I know we live in the world of short attention span, but you can certainly devote that to his podcast to help a friend of ours out. The In Time boys, Justin Time and Jeremy In Time. Justin is just amazing for the amount of support that he provides on this app and everything that he does. Plistrong, that's another another guy that's always promoting the heck out of our podcast for us when we release an episode. We thank you for that. A guy that's been I would say in the, I don't know where he's at right now. He's in the witness protection program, but he's, you know, since day one,
parts unknown.
As they say, down since day one. This guy was down since day one. I hope he is still listening to the show because we miss him dearly. And if he ever wants to come back on the show, we certainly have him. But it's Aaron from Wrestling by Wooldridge. Aaron's a great guy. I think he just took a break from the whole Twitter and YouTube and all that stuff just to concentrate on life, which we cannot.
We all, all need a break sometimes. So.
Oh, for sure. Aaron, I hope you're doing well. And again, we really appreciate all the support that you've given us over the years. Feel free to jump in here, by the way, Jay, if you want to make any comments on anybody as well.
Great.
Also from the local area, Dave Boyce, as he was known on our lovable Wrestle Center promotion, but also and Greaser and Spades from the Dark Side Express, and of course they all have their Arson Around podcast, which we mentioned last episode.
No one else will get this, but who wants a poster?
We all do from Dave. Who else we got here? We've got the guys from Above the Ring again, great at promoting tweets and interacting, and they have a great podcast of their own. They're on YouTube, so go over and check out and support Above the Ring guys. Top of the Cage podcast, another great podcast that I managed to appear on earlier this year, and they welcomed me with open arms, and it was a great conversation. We talked a lot about Impact Wrestling, which was fun. Sarah Golding over on the Twitter app,
Twitter machine.
I was trying to put out the positivity messages, and a friend of the show as well. Paul Fontaine is a Winnipeg guy that had been on our podcast and had us on the podcast, his podcast as well. Cup of Joe with Uncle Dennis, which is a fantastic show and a fantastic fun time. The guys from the Armchair Booking Wrestling Podcast. I don't know why I was struggling.
That's a mouthful.
I know. Yeah, I do. But again, we met them, associates through Ted the Hillbilly Heel, who seems to connect a lot of podcasts together, but man, good guys. We just had them on recently in our November to Remember. And, we're looking forward to get on their show very soon. We're just trying to hash out when we'll record that episode. But again, Dwaylen and Steve, really appreciate the come on and appreciate the support and the shout-outs that they give to us.
That was a fun chat.
Yep. Matt Ritter from Smacking It Raw and Getting Offed. He was also a November to Remember guest, and I think you quite enjoyed Matt's appearance.
Absolutely. Hopefully more for me to get on with him to talk a little non-wrestling topics, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was a fantastic episode and something a little bit different. It wasn't just wrestling. Yeah, but it was right down your alley.
Spice it up a bit.
Marie Shadows. Marie is just a journalist extraordinaire who's very supportive on the Twitter app as well, has her own podcast, does her own writing, does a great job of covering New Japan Pro Wrestling, and a friend of the show as well. JFB and Canada Dry from FM Wrestling Podcast.
Oh geez.
Yeah, the first podcast we ever appeared on, and still supportive of the show, and really appreciate that. And of course, go over and check check out what they're doing as well, because they got a great podcast. Talk about OGs. Big Mike, the host.
Big Mike.
This guy's burning.
Talk about down since day one, right there.
He originally buried the gimmick, and now he's burning the world down doing the Armstrong Avenue podcast with Scott Armstrong.
He's the next Paul Heyman, isn't he?
I think he is. He's doing right here MEW wrestling, so he's also announcing on MEW, doing the color on that. And of course, a big part of the IWN wrestling app, which we appear on. Our show is on there. We were one of the first ones that he asked, and we really appreciate the support on there. And Big Mike is always a friend of the show and always welcome on our show, because it's always entertaining and a good time. One of our Southern friends, that's for sure. Somebody recently that really starting to click with, and hopefully maybe we'll get him on the show at some point. And another link of Ted is Taylor from Jaded Wrestling, another fun podcast that I know Ted's a frequent guest on, and Taylor has been supportive of us as well. And so a little mutual admiration society going on. So I think we'll have to at some point hook up and do a show. Speaking of Ted's, how about Ted from Hooked on Movies?
Yes, that was another fun one.
Yeah.
We had a really good November to remember this year, didn't we?
It's going to be tough to top, I'll tell you that. My new friends from Today I Laughed and Learned, Chris and Deb. Yeah. we've made a wrestling fan out of Chris, and we're doing well. So just a relationship that came out of the Good Pods app, and just a great group that's going on there. Actually, a shout out to Austin Boyer, who set that up. He's with Wrestling World, his podcast as well, and great community in there, and very supportive of each other. Tino from Tino's Time, I want to say a big shout out to Tino. He's a content machine. He's just burning up YouTube with all his live streams and stuff like that, but at the same time very supportive, always retweeting, always commenting, and always encouraging. So thanks, Tino. And then finally, we'll mention Nick and Keith from the Universal Wrestling Podcast. I'm literally just watching their year-end awards show right now on YouTube, and it's a great episode, and they are a great podcast, and they've got an exciting special guest coming very soon to their show. It hasn't been revealed yet. We've only seen the silhouette, but it's a current AEW roster member.
Wow.
Yeah. So dun, dun, dun.
So one of 250 is what you're saying.
Yeah. It could be. I hope they swerve us and it's actually the purple hat. That would be really fun.
or Jericho's bat or whatever he calls it.
Yeah, that's right. And I just want to do one extra special shout out, because we don't shout this out enough, and you want to talk about OG supporters, believers, just fan of the podcast, friend of the podcast. You know who I'm talking about, Jay.
Oh, sorry.
You're fixing your earbuds.
Got me on that one.
Tom Bryce.
Oh yes, the OG. Yeah,
the original.
Like, the original OG. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It seems like forever ago, even though it wasn't that long. But
I know.
Yep. We wouldn't. I almost think we wouldn't be here without Tom. Maybe that's not true, but it sounds like we should say it.
Tom's been super supportive. Yeah. That's the Sports Wire Sports Radio family over on the Sportinarium app. And it's basically a 24-hour internet radio station that he was the first to ever approach us and ask us if we wanted to be part of it. And we were just like, what? Yeah.
And a super fun conversation. I loved talking to Tom. Like, I think we were on his show, or we were on the radio or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was fun. We you know what? Let's pencil that in to get Tom on our show.
We do have to get Tom on our show, because he is a lively dude that would bring a lot of
100% fun to listen to.
Yeah. And he's doing a lot. Like, he's a big wrestling fan. He does a lot of stuff with wrestling on there, but it's all sports. It's like sports, he's got everything on there. But fan. He does a lot of stuff with the British wrestling scene as well, and lots of great shows and great interviews with some of the stars from over there. So go over and check out the SportsWire sports app and over on sportinarium.com and support our friends and family over there, because there's a lot of great shows that are on there, including who we mentioned earlier, Andy from Grappling with Canada. There's just a plethora of good stuff out there. So anyways, thank you for indulging us for that short time, but we wouldn't be doing what we're doing right now, getting out to as many people as we would, if it wasn't for the support of all these great friends that we've made, as well as all the people that have listened to our show or checked us out on YouTube or whatever, just clicked. Yeah.
And honestly, as toxic sometimes as the internet can be, like this has been sort of the best part of doing this, is all of the support we get and all of the just connections we made, like genuine connections like that I'm hoping to actually physically connect at some point with some of these people, right? Because it's such a good vibe and just good momentum going forward, I think it's just the best way to put it. So lots of great friends along the way, hopefully.
I can't wait for the great creator convention of 2024 to have here in Nova Scotia.
We can create a wrestling podcasters convention. Let's do it.
There you go. Everybody come to us. It'd be like the Jericho crew.
Yeah. Expenses on you, not us, but whatever.
All right. So that being said, now let's talk about what are we looking forward to in 2023? What are we excited for in 2023 in the wrestling world? Are we excited about anything in 2023 in the wrestling world?
Nope, show over.
Nope, that's it. All right. Well, it was a good run. It was a good run. We'll be doing gardening tips next episode.
No, I think there's lots to be excited for. I mean, personally, I do. I mean, I know everyone's going to have their own take on this stuff, but like, it just feels like good momentum. And I know people are always going to bash this and bash that, and I know we've had our critiques on AEW's product, but like, it's not just AEW. Like, New Japan's running really strong right now, and they've got their big what do they call it, Wrestle Kingdom, and we're hearing rumors of people coming into that are big time American stars. So it's like there's all of this stuff, and it just, what is the term, like success breeds success or whatever, that something like that. Like, everybody doing well is a good thing, and especially if people would just stop the like nitpicking on everybody, you know what I mean? It's like, we're already veering off, but like, I am excited, point blank, but like, people still need to adjust their attitude in 23, because like, for instance, Bronson Reed coming back to WWE, which should have been a joyous thing for him, it should have been like this great accomplishment, he's back in where he's clearly loved by someone who's now running the show. And Twitter just blows up and says, I can't believe he went back there and he should have went to New Japan and blah, 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 blah. It's like, can't you just be happy for the man? He just debuted on Monday Night Raw. That's a big deal. It's a big fucking deal. And you're just shitting on it. Like, it's just like what you like and shut up. I just, that should be a tweet, or that would be the entrance to my music. If I had a video.
Like,
if I
what you like and shut and up.
Shut up.
It's like Owen Hart's music.
And then cue
right?
the music.
Enough is enough.
But seriously, it's like, get over it. The man clearly chose a path that he wanted to go down. Like, it's not your decision to make. Anyway, I just get
well,
so,
I mean, come on now. I mean, like signing with the biggest wrestling
company in the world. He beat Okada clean. This is bullshit. It's like, really? Oh, my God.
I mean,
who'd
want to work for the biggest wrestling company in the world? That's about to set records for the amount of gate.
And I'm sorry, people. Did he tell the bookers did he tell the bookers I'm beating Okada clean? Or was that a booking decision irrelevant to his decisions, right? Like, get your head out of your ass. He didn't make that decision. They made it for him and he did it, but he didn't owe them anything for that. Like, that's, I just get so annoying.
Maybe there's a forbidden door. Who knows?
Well, right? and I don't even think that's even far-fetched at this point, given a lot of the working relationship right now between Carl Anderson and Nakamura being over there and all that stuff.
So, Sasha going over.
I mean, Sasha being there, everyone's pretty convinced that it isn't connected, but I don't think we can rule it out, because the new regime was definitely in talks and they just couldn't agree on money, apparently. So I wouldn't put it past that. Anyway, we'll get into some of that stuff, but like, just be happy in 2023. You have lots of wrestling to consume it and keep your stupid opinions to yourself. Like, oh my God. Unless it's like how good we are in our show, but those wouldn't be stupid. I guess.
Five stars. Talk about those 5 stars.
Those wouldn't be stupid opinions.
Especially like the last one where they talked about how we were Canada's finest loins or whatever.
Yes. Handsome gentleman too.
I think exactly.
Anyway, so I am right. super excited. So let's get into some of these.
I've got a list here. We had discussed this list prior to the show, but we'll try to keep it brief on each topic. But it's us, so we can't do that.
It's hard
to
do that.
We'll try. We'll try to keep this under 3 hours for this episode. So first off, what you had mentioned, and I think everybody's going to be anticipating this, is just when is it going to happen? But it's the return of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. This is high on my list because there's now a new level of intrigue to who he's working with, what the plans are. Is this going to deviate from what Vince had in mind now that Triple H is running the show? Like, is Seth going to turn? Like, there's so many now storylines. And he's fucking enormous now. He's jacked right up. Have you seen him?
No.
He is way bigger than when he left. He has been destroying it at the gym, jacked up. Like, he looks huge now. If you have a peek, he's
I'm gonna look up.
Yeah, the training is clearly going well. So, like,
the
training, quote unquote. Yeah. Listen, all about
remember,
you.
We're proponents.
We're for this. So, like, don't think that is a criticism.
Go ahead, Ed,
I don't besmirch them at all. I think everybody should be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Akira Tozawa, get on the juice, man. Do it up. but anyway, like, so there's just so many, like, sort of subplots with that. And I mean, people aren't going to like to hear this, but I also wouldn't mind seeing Brandy come back. If it's going to be a Seth extended thing with Becky, then bring Brandy back. I know people love to shit on Brandy, but like, she has some entertainment value there, I think. So anyway, so there's the whole intrigue around how he comes back, where he comes back. I think it's Rumble. If I had to pick, I'd say Rumble. But I don't think he's going to win because maybe he does. I don't know. Now there's rumors that they might split the belts up and then he can kind of challenge for one and the other. But then Seth is going to be in the picture too. And you're hearing that it's going to be Seth and Cody going forward when he comes back. So, man, there's just so many things that could go with that. And I just think we got so deprived, right? Because we had such a cool, hot start to Cody's run. And then even when he got cut off with the injury, he left on such a high note with that bloody reveal of his arm and the purple and all that stuff. It was like, man, oh, man, we've just been deprived of Cody for a while. And you all know that that is not. If I said this a year ago, I would have told myself I'm full of shit because I was not on Cody's bandwagon before. But so that's one of my tops for me to see where they go with this Cody stuff.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the Brandy thing, yeah, I'm okay with that because she's not going to be in a position of power. And like that, not like AEW where it was really kind of annoying as far
she's proven she's a good on-air talent when she was doing announcing before.
She
right?
can, so, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, she'll be
given a constraint of WWE, I think she wouldn't be allowed to run wild, right?
That's what Which I was going to say. She'll be constrained.
I know Ariana said that, but
yeah.
She would have a framework to work with on WWE.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, obviously, I wasn't a huge Cody guy in AEW. I thought it was a,
to be honest.
Overdone and just so sappy and syrupy. Even like that, I know people are talking about it was probably one of the promos of the year as far as his first promo back where he's talking about winning that belt for his dad, you know, all that stuff. I was still feeling the same sappy
On
Cody.
Raw, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but once we got into the whole feud with Seth Rollins, that changed everything. It really showed that he belongs in the top.
And do you think that promo would have been different in Triple H's world?
I don't know. Yeah, because it seemed like it was pretty heartfelt, to be quite honest.
You're right. Didn't seem super
and honestly, specific. If that promo came out without the whole AEW run, just seemed like that one actually felt heartfelt. The ones in AEW felt scripted, you know? And of course, there was the whole rumor
too close together for you to kind of separate them. Yeah,
but yeah, and I think honestly, like for a lot of people, this injury actually might come in handy because now there's an anticipation for him, right? Yeah. I mean, yes, there was initial anticipation of like, okay, he's the first big star from AEW to go back to WWE, but now it's kind of like when Triple H was kind of starting to wear on us, and then he got injured with the quads. He comes back in 2002, and the fans go ballistic for him, right? So,
no, I agree. I don't think he would have liked the timing to be what it was, but it ultimately might work out now. Given
I think
all the changes.
Well, and I mean, it's just if they go with what everybody's talked about with him being the one to beat Roman. It just gave more opportunity for Roman to build himself into a bigger colossus, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Which, okay, so
for him to take down too, yeah.
Yeah, there's a good segue into our one of our other topics. Is one of the things I'm looking forward to is the ongoing Bloodline story. And where the hell is this going? And what's going to happen? And when they're going to turn on Sammy? Or when's Sammy going to screw them? And who's taking the title? And what's happening with the Usos?
It's super intriguing because now they're building up the tag team now, right? And then like this the Cena KO thing, and like they're far away from turning if that's the case, right? So or maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. I mean, they could easily.
It's funny.
That, guess,
it's funny when this whole tag team situation. You might not remember this, but this reminds me of like the 80s Saturday Night's Main Event. We'd have Hogan team up with like an Andre against like this bad guy team, like Bundy and Stud or something like that. And that's what it kind of feels like. I know these aren't as big of life characters as those guys, but it feels very, very, very main eventy. I mean, you got Cena, who's the Hogan, you got KO, who's, you know, your. He's not Andre, but he's like maybe like the Junkyard Dog or something.
Yeah, he's on that Piper level at least or whatever. Yeah.
And then you got, you know, of course, Roman, who's just the ultimate top of the heap right now. And then, of course, Sammy, who's as hot as anybody in the business.
It'd be like a Ted DiBiase or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I agree. It feels massive. And they're pumping it up, and they're pumping up the first live show of Raw too, with some of the titles being on the line, and the Seth and Austin match, Austin Theory match that they promoted on this week's Raw. Super good promotion on that. So
both
of those returning shows feel really, really big time. And it's Becky, Alexa and Bianca too on that, on that Raw. So they got big things for the first shows back, but the Cena thing threw me too. And I was like, oh wow, that's kind of, I didn't clue into the, hadn't wrestled on TV all year. Right. Or at all, I guess.
So here's the beauty of the Bloodline storyline, right? So we've been going on and on and on, like all as fans, I'm talking about as the, okay, Sammy's turning now, or it's happening at Survivor Series, or it's happening. And they don't do it, right? They're just long playing us. And everybody's like, okay, it's going to be Cody when he comes back. And it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. And all of a sudden, who walks into the picture but Mr. Cena?
Yeah.
What if it's Cena at Mania? What if John Cena is the opponent? What a dream match that is. John Cena against Roman Reigns?
I wouldn't hate it.
There's your table.
Is it logistically possible? I guess. I mean, Cena's pretty busy, I think. But I'm done hating on any match. I even heard rumblings that people were getting a little cranky that Goldberg's contracts are being renewed and they might like be doing a new deal with him. And like, I'm sorry, a star is a star is a star, whether you like who they beat or who they, and I get the belt thing and keeping it off TV, but Roman's kept it off TV for the whole year. So like, why are you going to shit on a legend coming back and doing that? And then not on Roman. Right. I mean, that's hypocritical. So, but anyway, back to the Bloodline thing. My only hope is that it doesn't get drawn out too much longer. You know what I mean? Because I think we've had such a good run. I don't want it to get stale. And I don't think it will, because even Raw, like the kind of quote unquote Bloodline taking over kind of thing where they just disrupted the whole show. That was kind of cool. That was reminiscent of NWO days, right? I'm sure you got that vibe too. So it's like, yeah, I guess maybe I just take that statement back, because I could see it going for another 6 months maybe and liking it.
Well, you still got storyline after the titles get lost, right? Yeah. You know, you still got Sammy thing. You got so much there. There's a year's worth.
You're building Uso, Solo Sikoa. No, you're right. So, I mean, this could be a whole 2023 storyline.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. So, and what I love about it, we don't have a clue where it's going. No. That's the best.
And there's so many branches that it could go, because you can't narrow it down. Like in some storylines that they've done in the past that have been good, they were good, but they either weren't organic good and they got good, or they were like so typically predictable good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one is, maybe they never turn on Sammy. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, when I say we don't know where it's going, not in the meaning that they have no direction. They have so many offshoots that we don't know which one they're going to take. Right. That's the beauty of a storyline.
They could take any of them and be successful.
Yes, exactly. All right. So of course that had to be on the list, but let's switch gears a little bit. Let's go to the other side and go to AEW. And you know, we just talked about a little while ago about Cody Rhodes possibly having one of the best promos of the year. Well, over in AEW, we had some pretty good promos lately with a gentleman by the initials of MJF. I mean, he's had a number of promos this year. I'll tell you one thing. I haven't seen the episode of Dynamite yet, but what I did catch was MJF's promo, his retort, I guess. And it was just a backstage with Marvez, I think, of all things. Yep. On Ricky Stark's work in the ring.
Who had a great promo to begin with.
He had a great promo. And I'll tell you, MJF proved to me, this is why MJF is, as they call him, a generational star. He went to that Dynamite and let Ricky Starks do what he did, knowing that, no worries, I'm going to come back next week, right, and I'm going to blow the doors off him, and I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to lose
and
any
And he still got
heat.
The kick into the dick, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So which looked like a heel.
That's where they should have ended that, right there, is the kick in the dick, actually. But they didn't. They had to keep going with that. But then he comes back this past week on Dynamite, and he cuts an amazing promo backstage, not even in the ring, and talking about like how, you know, just how he turned everything on Starks, talking about how the pressure's on him, you know, how he's the one that's the star maker, you know, just talking about
you're
it.
You're welcome, basically. Is what
and then even at the last line, you know, talked about the pebble, and when you crush the pebble, is it going to turn into a diamond or is it just going to go to dust? You know, like, just fantastic stuff. The guy is just top-notch. And, I mean, of course, he had the promo that they had back in the summer with the whole I'm leaving stuff and then the bidding war of 2024 and all that stuff. Plus he survived through all this with, it seems like, an active attempt to bury him a little bit, you know, with the whole CM Punk stuff and the Jericho stuff and all that stuff. And he's come through scot-free, clean as a whistle. Yeah. And now we're looking forward to his title reign in 2023 to see what that brings.
Yep, and 100% I'm looking forward to it. 100% I'm looking forward to where they put or who they put with him to put the programs. I will put a caveat to this, and I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but I'm slightly still worried that it will be botched a little bit. And I just, it's because of the recent booking history, like just pull up anything. I mean, I know a lot of it was out of Tony Khan's control with the Punk stuff, but like, the Page title run seemed very lackluster. John Moxley's latest title runs have been very lackluster. And I'm kind of over Moxley to begin with. And yet they continue to shove him down our throats. And it's like, I don't know. That's why I'm just like, I'm cautiously optimistic, as I like to say. But it's not going to be MJF's fault if it flops. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, the only thing I'm watching AEW for right now is MJF.
Who's in fantastic shape. I don't think he gets enough credit for how big he got and jacked up he got. And like, he looks even better than he was in great shape before, but now he looks like legit, like almost looks like a Triple H kind of build.
Well, I think that might be his idol, maybe.
I will say this. I will give Tony and the AEW producing team props for letting him drop those names. Like, I know he doesn't say Triple H specifically, or he doesn't say WWE specifically, but I mean, I guess they used to do that on WWE too, didn't? And back in the Attitude Day, didn't they? They used to subtly drop it. Anyway, I don't know if it helps them or hurts them when you say that stuff, but it's cool to hear on your TV.
Yeah. Well, like I say, he stood toe to toe this year with Moxley, Regal, Tony Khan himself.
Well, he was gone for 4 or 5 months and he was still the biggest thing of the year.
Yeah.
Right?
Ricky Starks. And didn't he have one with Kingston too? Eddie Kingston, or I remember that incorrectly, but
no, I think you're right.
Yeah.
The Wardlow stuff.
And of course he's also stood toe to toe with a Mr. CM Punk, which is our next topic as far as what we're talking about for 20. That's what I do. I do the segues.
You're driving around in a Segway, aren't you?
I am. I'm putting around. Mr. Punk, we're talking about return in 2023.
Who would have thought that I would be saying at this point in the year that I actually hope that he makes a return to WWE? I did not think that was ever going to be uttered from my mouth. But so I will say this, going back to his kind of debut and what was it, 21, and I popped and fanboyed out and all that stuff. And then you saw the run and it was pretty lackluster, and then all the stuff happened. But now I'm excited to see if it happens, like you said, a potential return, where he would return, and the reasons for return would be almost as intriguing as him coming back. You know what I mean? So I don't want to belabor it. We've talked about it before, but I am hoping, and I think it would be the best thing for his character and for him to come back to the WWE, bury the hatchet with Triple H, if there ever even is one to be buried, and just milk that cash cow for all it would be, which it would be a shit ton of milk, I guess, if I'm using that analogy. But like, seriously, he wouldn't even have to do it. He wouldn't even have to wrestle. He wouldn't even have to work in the ring. He would just, if he wanted to just commentate or be on-air talent for another talent and just be the mouthpiece. Like, the dude would not even have to wrestle, and he would still make more than I think he would ever make in AEW.
He could do the old school Mean Gene hotline.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Talk about AEW the whole time.
Like, talk about commentary, put him on a desk. Like, the amount of things he could do in that programming and in that kind of, to use the term, universe, would be exponentially more than he can do for AEW. And he wouldn't have to wrestle every week. He was wrestling like every week. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be. He's not.
No.
He's not the 27-year-old punk that, whatever age was, he was when he debuted. Like, he's not that guy anymore. So don't make him try to be that guy. And that was, I think that was almost their fault. Like, Tony Khan stepped in and said, like, yeah, Phil, we don't need you to be working every week. We need you to be the superstar CM Punk, right? Like, yeah. Once a month, whatever, once every 4 months.
Yep.
Screw it, whatever. Like, which would be a Legends deal kind of thing, right? Anyway, so I hope it's WWE. If it's AEW, I just think that completely diminishes and discredits everything that happened. And it just puts a sour taste in my mouth for AEW if he does come back to there. Because it just, I will never believe a single thing that comes out of that company then.
That's
seriously, if he goes back there.
Yeah, they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. Because that's what I was just about to say. Now we're making the assumption that he comes to WWE, but it's quite possible he comes back to AEW, because we still have no confirmation on a release for him.
Yeah,
and we hear all the time that it's the holdup is him and it's the lawyers and stuff like that. Well, that's good smoke screen. He's already got the heat on him. He might as well have the heat for that too.
Yeah. But he is already working for other things. So like, it wouldn't. I know it's not wrestling related.
Indie-rific.
But he was doing stuff. MMA combat.
That's what I'm saying. Indie-rific MMA, yeah. Right? You know, it's not UFC or something like that.
But
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if there's, I get it. You can swerve and you can try to do these things with the fans. And yeah, they did it with MJF, although I still think they blew that, to be quite honest. It's just MJF pulled that out of the wreckage, is what he did, and just it turned. You know,
snatched it from dismay. Yeah.
Yeah. Chicken salad to chicken shit from chicken shit. Right. But if this turns out to be a work, and they'll claim, oh, it wasn't a work, we just ended up tempers, you know, cooled down and we all got together.
Which I still think was the case for MJF. They just made it look like they were planning it all along. I don't think this was the plan for MJF all along. Hold him hostage.
For the Punk thing, though, I'm saying, like, they'll say, oh, yeah, we finally got together. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is you completely torpedoed three of your top acts with the Elite. Now you've made them into heels. And when they could have easily, all they had to do is shut their mouths and not do anything, or not do any of that bullshit in the ring where they were imitating his botched moves and stuff like that. They would have been the biggest baby faces going for this. But no, they pulled this, which is fine. Yeah, okay, you become the heels as long as you got a baby face that's coming back that you can now be get your comeuppance for it. Yeah. But you have no baby face guarantee coming back. So what's the point of that, right?
Yeah, now, not to mention Tony Khan, if it is a work, totally fucked up the night after or whatever on the Dynamite, where he didn't even mention them by name. He didn't even mention the incident by name. Like, then you blew it there too, because that's where you build it. That would have been like his Vince McMahon cutting the Attitude Era promo.
Yes.
Moment.
Brett screwed Brett. Like, it's Brett screwed Brett is
exactly.
What it is.
And he didn't do that. I'm just talking about when he said, we're going to go a different direction. We're going to have more attitude and all that stuff. It's like, that was Tony's chance. Yeah. The Brett screwed Brett is a better analogy, I guess. But like, so if it is him coming back to AEW and it was a work all along, then shame on you, I almost want to say, right? Because it was so badly done.
how do you believe anything after that?
That's what I'm saying.
Again, this isn't swerving for the sake of swerving. This is just
bad ridiculous. Business. In my opinion, it'd just be bad business.
Yeah, it's not looking forward to good booking there. But yeah, and if it was an intentional swerve, I'd have people talking about him all the time still on the show, so he's still in your memory.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Your fan base could be a lot different in a year's time when he's able to come back versus what it is right now.
Or just have somebody like dropping seeds on social media or something, right?
Yeah. 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 So I don't think it is a work, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So if it's not a work, yeah, maybe then he does still come back there because he decides, I just don't want to do WWE. I've said too much. Or maybe WWE says, sorry, guy, you're just too much of a toxin.
Yeah.
But knowing that Triple H is trained under Vince McMahon, Vince will take anybody back. Yeah.
Business is business. And we've said this before, and Triple H is the guy who fostered the return of Bruno and the return of Warrior. He's been that guy who's mediated those discussions to get them back in front of each other, right? So,
but the big difference there was those guys had the problem with Vince. Punk and Triple H had the problem, right? Yeah. So that's a whole different shit sandwich.
Fair enough. Right? And that might be too much to get over. But I think one thing Triple H has proven is he will do what's right for the business.
It's just whether Punk can get over it.
Whether Phil wants to do that, that's a different question, I guess.
All right. Well, we've beaten that one to death, just like he got beaten up during that whole scrum and all that stuff. But so let's go from
at least we didn't bite his dog, right? He didn't bite his arm.
Let's go from the major leagues to somebody's just a bit below there. So we wanted to talk about a couple of things. One was NXT, possible growth for NXT, and the possibility of them getting back on the road. And the other one that I brought up was Impact and possibility of finally seeing stability with them and maybe seeing some growth from them as well. So
you touch on the Impact stuff because I want to get your sense on that, and then I'll chime in.
Well, and we talked about it last episode, I think it was. Impact, what they struggle with is getting that stench of TNA off of them and getting that stench of the old era. But, I mean, they're putting on very entertaining wrestling shows, not just their pay-per-views, but also just their weekly TV. They have very simple storylines, old school storylines that are easy to understand for fans. Yeah. They have excellent athletes, and some of them are better than some of the athletes that you see on AEW, to be quite honest. And I'm surprised that they're not flip-flopped, you know. They've got some great minds in there. They've done, I'm telling you, I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, even just the overhauling of the announcers, getting a Tom Hannafan in there. Aiden English.
I forget what his real name.
Matt Reinwald, I think.
Reinwald, I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing a great job there. It just gives a bit more seriousness to it, whereas when they used to have, I know, what's his name, the guy that came from WWE,
the little guy.
Forever young-looking guy.
Madison Rain. I just call him Madison Rain's husband.
Josh Matthews. Yes. He did all right, but then they have D'Lo in there, and it just didn't really flow that good. But
they had Cyrus on there for a while.
Yeah, but again, he was just getting himself over the whole time. But, you know, Tom Hannafin brings that Michael Cole-esque feel to the broadcast of seriousness, and I'm telling you, that makes a difference to your product. Yeah. You got guys like Bully Ray in there with those minds. Tommy Dreamer, Scott DeMore's doing a great job. They have Josh Alexander as their champion. They've got, teams like the Motor City Machine Guns. We have a fantastic storyline going on right now with Mickey James and the whole Last Rodeo thing. Who knows? Does Nick Aldis come there now that he's a free agent? That type of thing. I feel like there's a lot of good stuff going on. Their women's division is fantastic there. They've got some great young talents as well. I'm excited about even the whole thing they did with Diener and the whole Violent by Design. Talk about that was a beautiful handoff by Eric Young to Diener to say, okay, this is yours now, and away you go. And the other
thing sucks because Young leaving, but then also what's his name got sick again.
Joe Doring.
Which is kind of unfortunate, but
it is.
But they filled the holes and they kind of kept it going. So yeah, good point.
Plus, they're not afraid to do anything creatively. Literally, they killed Eric Young.
Yeah, they literally shivved him on TV.
So they can get
which they've done in the past.
Yeah, they can get away with it. So it just the product feels very stable right now. You're not hearing tons and tons of rumors about them as far as finances and this and that.
Yeah, and that was my only point is like creatively, I think they've been strong for a long time, even though I don't give them enough time. Is Anthem behind them strong and is the money strong? But I guess they did sign some key people through the last year.
And I think they finally have learned one, we're not going to be number two. We're not, and geez, even back in like when you think to the days when Hogan was there, they were trying to be number one. Wasn't going to happen, right? But we're not even going to be number two. What we're going to be is a super solid number three. And we can cut a niche there. We can make money in that range because we're not going to waste our money on a Hulk Hogan or an Eric Bischoff or, you know, whoever you want to name, Jeff Hardy or whatever. We're going to put little pieces here. We're going to put, like you say, the Bully Rays will come in. The Matt Cardonas are going to come in, those people, right? And we're going to build something. And I like it. I really do. It's probably, I find Impact to be one of the easiest watches of the week for me when I do get the chance to see it.
And I got to watch it more, to be honest, because
I don't have to think when I'm watching it. And I mean that in a good way. I don't have to sit there and do Pythagorean's theorem to figure out what the storyline is.
You know what? There's just some little, and I agree with you, but like some of the production stuff, I hate that they still do the shot of the main hard cam is the one facing the stage. I wish they would do the side one like everybody else. Like, and I know that was a COVID thing, but that's long gone, right? So anyway, I interrupt you, but like some of the production stuff still irks
me. And I agree. That's stuff that they got to work on, but those are smaller things, right? Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like a big time feel when you get that view. When you just pan into the ring and you see the ring horizontally on and you can't really see the whole arena behind it, which you can when you're doing that shot, it feels more big time. Yeah, they pan out and you can see the stage and stuff. It's not very big. But when you have that hard cam just facing the ring straight on, I feel like it has such a better view. Like, because MLW does that view and it doesn't feel like they're in a little bingo hall. Yeah. It just doesn't, right?
But remember, as the niche number three, they don't necessarily have to be big time.
And you're right. I just personally, that's one personally of the things for you, that hurts me. Yeah, I just
but like as that. I say, that type of setup is going to attract the extra million fans. It makes them into the number two. But that's what got them in trouble in the first place doing the Hogan era, right? So that's what I'm saying. I think they
ain't broke, then don't change it and don't fix it. I get that too. But that's why I kind of. I don't avoid it, but it's not something I'm drawn to. Yeah. Whereas we've talked about this, I would almost be more drawn to NMLW on YouTube because it feels a little more like ECW Raw or like whatever, right? It almost looks like the old school video games, that view of the ring, right? That's what it looks like when they have that hard cam. But anyway, I'm nitpicking because their stuff is great.
But yeah, and the only thing I was going to say, what I was saying there was I don't have to think about their show when I'm watching, which is a good thing. Like I'm not doing, you know, science experience here to figure out what the hell is the storyline here. Kind of like
who's connected to who.
AEW. And the other thing, and this, I'm not trying to put down AEW, but I'm just comparing this. Because I'm going to watch WWE no matter what. And I'm sorry, I'm one of those people. Yes, I am going to watch WWE no matter what, because something's going to happen that's going to catch my attention. But with AEW, I really have to decide if I want to watch it. And the same with Impact. But the other thing I find with Impact, I don't have to worry about somebody breaking their neck or doing something so stupid that I'm kind of almost getting stomach turned watching this there's constantly on AEW. I'm watching things where you're not seeing the botches on Impact. I know they tape their show, so you're not seeing that, but you're seeing the botches on AEW and stuff like that. So for me, it's the easier watch of the two.
I think there's a lot of people behind the scenes there that have that same WWE produced mentality of controlled, right? Mm-hmm. It's a controlled environment. I think, and I'm not suggesting that AEW is unsafe, but it's less controlled as far as what they're allowed to do and not allowed to do, I think. I think probably Impact takes that same approach where, like, they give them free rein to probably produce the match as they want, but with some caveats in there around how that looks on TV.
Yeah, for sure. So,
but yeah,
that's
with you.
That's my rant on Impact. But you talk about NXT.
Similar for NXT, I think they're building. Well, not similar, I guess, because we all know what happened with the splatter paint version and 2.0 and all that stuff, and then
which I didn't hate.
I didn't hate it either, but I get people's criticisms with it. They were trying to do something new. They were trying to create the what they intended it to be, and even Regal spoke to the fact that it was overdue. Like the NXT had kind of run its course and how about their popularity, and before the pandemic hit and stuff, he felt it was probably kind of going to need a change anyway. But anyway, and then we get the regime change and we're back to sort of the now white and gold, I guess. It's not black and gold. But so again, it didn't feel much different. I guess I'm not going to believe, like kind of beat this too long, but like it didn't feel very different for me at the very beginning because it took a little bit for the changes to come in, even the branding change. Titles are still the same. Now I hear they're going back to the old titles soon anyway, but like we still had a bit of both in there and it's starting now to feel a little bit more. And I think they're always going to go with the, we're going to build people from the ground up college athlete approach, but now we at least know confirmed that they're still going to bring in big time independent talent, right? Or like seasoned independent talent. So it'll be like a hybrid approach. But we also have now learned that they are going to get out of the studio now. They are going to run shows. They're promoting the shit out of NXT Vengeance Day in February on TV. Like Raw and SmackDown must have had 4 ads for each and for tickets going on sale. So in Charlotte, I think of all places. So very excited to see that go back. Will we ever see like sold out Barclays Center again for NXT? Probably not, but that's not really what I'm looking forward to. I'm just looking for a different environment than, even though I like that the Performance Center studio, like it does have a cool feel to it. That should be the TV feel. And then you should have a pay-per-view feel into a different arena or whatever. So personally, I'm excited about that. And then tacking on to that, I'm excited to see where this NXT Europe goes. And I know that might be further down the line, but I don't think it's that much further down the line. I think they did say 23, right? I think they did say relaunch was coming. Anyway, might be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that sort of new world of, because I really did like NXT UK, but to see where that sort of ended and now where they're going to take the Europe thing and maybe more possible expansions, then that's kind of cool too. So yeah, lumping all of that NXT under one excitement for just, I think there is, and I think Shawn Michaels is a good guy to lead that brand. So I think I'm just excited to see where they go, where they take the new talent that they build and mix it in with the indie guys and this clear agenda and this clear purpose to bring main roster people down and have a significant impact down there, right? Not just a one-off appearance like New Day being down there, and we now have Drew Gulak, and we've heard of all these other people who want to go down, right? Even Drew McIntyre, I think, has said he wants to go down and have a run on NXT. So yeah, I just think it's going to be cool. I think AEW needs to perk up because I think if this catches steam again, they might have a new formula that can be a little more consistent and they might not care where the ratings end up at this go around. You know what I mean? Whereas Vince was making them get ratings, where Triple H, this is his sort of brainchild and he sees it as sort of both a brand and a development, then he won't care where the ratings are lining up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, that's basically, there's no other real caveat to that. I mean, I think they're strong. I don't think they're going anywhere. The NXT Europe thing is going to just solidify that. But I think the other thing I'll end it on is the consistency now between the two brands or the three brands, I guess. It's been clear, and I think Road Dogg has said it and Sean said it too. They will continue gimmicks, right? Like they won't. They will either end what they're doing on the show for NXT to then start something new on their main brands, but they won't just leave things hanging anymore. And that's also exciting too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I won't go much further on that because I mean, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I think there's good momentum going and I'm interested to see again, what I think we did see what a Triple H left alone NXT would look like. And at the very beginning of NXT, when it was the black and gold or whatever. And, to me, that was the original AEW, to be quite honest. I think pretty much what you're seeing on that is now AEW, right?
They definitely took that blueprint, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the same people that are main eventing over on AEW now, too. It amazes me. You know what? We're probably the only podcast in the world that has not touched on, speaking of NXT, the Mandy Rose situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all hearsay, right? It's all speculative. If we did,
that's why I haven't said anything, right? You know, it's I'm hearing so many different rumors as far as how much money she's making and all this. I guess the only thing I'll say about this, I mean, I've heard so many people, justice for Mandy. I think she's going to do all right.
Justice for Mandy. It's like she's like in some impoverished situation. Like, God, give me a break.
It's the world today.
Give me a break.
But the other thing is, you know, I hear the argument, well, WWE used to have Playboy and they used to have people on Playboy. Oh, yes, they did. Too, they yeah. did. They did.
Back before they were a publicly traded company. Yes,
yeah,
they did.
Back in the Attitude Era, they yes. certainly did. And they haven't had that since then.
Right. Very clearly have not had that since then.
I would challenge anyone in their place of employment to yes. to come out and announce that they have a site where they're
you know, if they're, not they're sexually having, explicit, sexually yeah.
Provocative.
Yeah, provocative yeah. is a good term. Yeah,
provocative videos and photos for sale on that site while you're working for an actual corporation. I'm not talking about working for, you know, Joe's, Joe's Hamburger Shack. I'm yeah. talking about working for a Nike or a Google or somebody or Twitter or whatever. And see what they have
public,
to say.
Like a publicly whatever.
I'm sure there's a morality clause that's listed yeah. in their contract. That they And now, this brings up a separate argument around the whole, well, aren't these independent contractors, right?
And that's a fair argument, but they still have contractual
They still
obligations.
Went into a contract.
Right,
yes,
exactly. That's so thing, that's, yeah. That's a moot point in this yeah. scenario. That yeah. is a bigger issue that could be dealt with. But if she was... In her con, and again, I heard rumors that it was Mattel. They said, "Get her out of there, or we're pulling our deal." Do you think she trumps Mattel? No, she doesn't trump Mattel. So, yeah. like, I don't think it was some. People will think that it's some sinister move by the big bad WWE corporation. So be it. If that's the way you think, but I, if she put her name on a contract that said we reserve the right to review content or whatever, and we've already seen the momentum shift. Triple H has already let them do this other stuff where they were, I mean, there was the whole rigmarole around. They weren't allowed to do Twitch streams and all mm-hmm. this stuff. And I know maybe it wasn't Triple H who re-instigated that, but like he's seemingly okay with it, but don't breach your shit that's in the contract. Right. I mean, it's yeah. clearly probably in there. So yeah. whether it was full on nudity or not, I also heard it was like very much not nudity, but mm-hmm. anyway, like that's beyond the point. If they have it written in, that they have this sort of corporate policy, then you breached it. And yeah. that's, and I also heard that like, she kind of was like, okay, I did kind of thing. And it was almost agreed that for a couple weeks that she did and was going to be gone. So
well,
like, they almost came to terms on a release or something like,
yeah, it's basically, she said, well, I'm not giving up the channel. I'm making more money
right.
doing the channel.
And they're like,
I
okay,
am.
Well, we got to let you go then.
Exactly. Okay. Well, it's no different than if we were doing side job. Like, so we're doing the podcast and all of a sudden this becomes a very lucrative thing for us. Yeah. Meanwhile, we have our day jobs, but this is starting to cut into the day job. We would have to make a decision. We might say, you know what? Sorry, I'm going to do the podcast going right. forward. Right? Yeah, it's making more money for
which
me,
is so. The hope, by the way. That is so everybody yeah, get out there and do it.
Exactly. But you know, I don't understand all the what I am bothered by is she has been one of the most enjoyable and Toxic Attraction too has yeah. been one of the most enjoyable.
Oh, creatively, it sucks. Yeah, creatively, it sucks.
Yes,
she,
yes.
She
sorry,
was
sorry
so
I thought you meant that they yeah. sucked, but
no.
I mean, they've been one of the most enjoyable parts of NXT, and she's been one of the most enjoyable female performers.
And the most improved.
That's what I mean. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, to watch yeah. this improvement. Like,
now, hopefully,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. And maybe they'll work something out in the future. And maybe I also heard that it's going to die down and they want to bring her back anyway. So, like, who fucking knows? But just like, shut up. Again, back to my Titantron. Like, just watch and shut your mouth because you don't know what the hell is going on here. She's not going to, she's not going to be starving. She's already said her agent's already come out and said she's going to be a millionaire by the end of the year, blah, 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 blah. So like, please don't cry for me, Argentina, on this one. Like, come on, people. Like, anyway,
she's not going to be on the, what do you call it? The bread line?
No, exactly. And like selfishly, personally, I'm like, well, I hope she does go full fledged OnlyFans then, because I'll sign up. Charge me $30 a month. I'm good with that. So.
But I think your Titantron should be that Hulk Hogan tweet where he's like, good night, Hulkamaniacs and jabroni marks with a life that don't know it was a work when you work a work and work yourself into a shoot, marks, brother.
That would be a long intro, but yeah. All right, let's get back on the excitement train.
Yeah, we're going to go a little over time, but that's okay. It's the last episode. As we mentioned, it's the last episode of 2022. We're taking a break for Christmas, but a couple of quick ones. So, Comrade Thompson, we talked about this last episode, so we won't go deep into this one. Just there is maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe the possibility JCP becomes a little bit more than just Flair's last match. That would
is
be
there more than just rumor and hearsay on that, or is there any?
I don't know. I haven't really.
Or is that just hopeful thinking on our part? Maybe?
It's kind of wishful thinking on our part. But you mentioned you had heard something about possibly doing a bunch of last matches.
There was definitely rumors of that where they were going to do multiple.
Well, you think if the guy say he did four of them in a year.
That's or quarterly a things. There,
That's a promotion right there, right? Just because they don't have weekly television. But my dream would be JCP comes back, they engulf the NWA, maybe, you know, maybe Impact comes into that little fold.
That would be exciting. And then almost go, like, call it something different, but almost go back to the old NWA days, but now more of a televised national approach to it. But you have separate organizations with different principles all working under one banner. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. The other thing that you had mentioned was the development of Bray Wyatt.
Just the character in general. And like, it's a slow build and I know people are getting a little itchy, but they really, they doubled down a little bit on SmackDown. Well, that was cool. And do we agree that that was his brother? I mean, it had to be, right?
I don't know.
It had to be. Anyway.
Kind of looked like Paul Heyman, the shape of him.
Well, he looked a little thinner. So that's why I was like, is it? Anyway. But that was cool just seeing Bray's reaction. Like Bray was almost like, I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like he was just laying in the corner. Like I told you it wasn't me. And then LA Knight, like I know it was weird to begin with the old LA Knight thing, but I think this is ultimately going to make LA Knight.
I was just about to say,
I think it's going to be a huge thing for LA Knight.
Is it just me or is LA Knight seem to be getting over here?
Yes. And it's like in a weird, like quasi, like Bray's playing a face, but it's doing kind of heelish things. But then LA Knight, it's still heel, and then like all of the stuff with the Firefly stuff and with Alexa, like it's, I'm super pumped for it. And like the writer came out and even said watch SmackDown, so obviously he was alluding to the Uncle Howdy stuff. But like, I still don't know where the hell they're going with it, and I'm still excited because it's like this drawn out thing. And if it makes LA Knight a bigger star, great, because I think he deserves to be because he's awesome, and he's playing such a good like. You still need to hate me, but feel bad for me kind of character right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's cool too. And anyway, so all encompassing, I'm excited for Bray. And I know I've heard a little bit of mixed rumblings on that, cause they don't think it's going quick enough and whatever, but it's like, give me the slow build any day for this type of thing. Like sometimes no, because it's like, okay, just get it over with. Cause we know where it's going. But like the fact that we don't know where this is going, take your time then. Take your time.
Yeah. Boo hoo to you that you have no patience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, do I want all these characters coming out in those silly masks and like wrestling in that look? No, but we don't know that that's going to be the case. We just, maybe these are going to be like managers that anyway, we don't even know what it's going to be, but
Yeah, it's, I'm just along for the ride on that one.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying it.
I'm happy Bray's back. I'm happy that we've got some intrigue to it, and I don't care. I'll wait it out for a while. Could you imagine like if we did the mega powers explode in like a month back in the day. Like that was fair enough. Full year of storytelling and it got an amazing payoff. So yeah, I'm okay. I'll wait a couple more months. Now, if they just kind of stall, that's a little bit different, but we've got so many different offshoots going on that
with could the be Alexa stuff and then the
Nikki Cross and the Nikki whole Cross. Possible sanity thing and all this stuff.
Fair enough.
Right? Yeah. It's, and like I say, it feels like LA Knight's getting over.
Yeah. Which is,
that's the point. Like getting the guy over of it. Yeah.
He's so good.
Oh man. Okay. The last thing that we'll touch on is
maybe
excitement.
The most important thing, eh?
Well, no. Just there's one more after that. Sorry. Oh, okay. Yes. But as far as our topics that we had is excitement level building for Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
Oh, yes.
I think this is going to be,
or as I like to call it, the road to WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
In general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we don't need to belabor this one because we already kind of touched on a lot of it, but. The Cody return, the potential returns of Rumble. We're hearing Cardona. We're hearing maybe Aldis is a name. We're hearing other returns for the Rumble. We got a new person in charge of booking a Rumble. Like that could be big time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that could just change how they book Rumbles. Maybe we won't get those.
You mean they're not going to bring Shane back to do it?
Right. Exactly. And we're not going to get maybe some of these stupid comedic returns that are wasting spots for people. We're going to probably get some NXT call-ups in there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just jazz for that. And then the 2-day Mania at SoFi in like that stadium is just gonna feel cool. And the Rock rumors and
how many people does that stadium hold?
Almost 90 plus, I think, 95,000 plus.
Yeah,
like,
okay. So you could have
and probably more. That's for
threes.
Football, I think. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically. And I think the ticket sales are doing pretty well. So the atmosphere of that, plus the potential splitting the titles, plus the new titles are being rumored, like new physical designs about, like, there's just, oh my God, there's just so much cool shit. And you got to figure he's like, he has in Triple H has been holding off some of these bigger moves till this season, right? To, he probably didn't want to do all that stuff in the lead up to the end of the year. It makes way more sense to make bigger scale changes in this time of year coming up.
Yep, for sure. I'm always excited for Royal Rumble. It's probably my favorite pay-per-view of them all, but I am eagerly anticipating this year's. I think there's going to be some really cool surprises in this Rumble. There's going to be some good returns. I find it's funny you mentioned Aldis. I find it interesting. He hasn't really signed with anybody as of yet.
He's been pretty quiet too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been pretty quiet. I know he's doing a couple of appearances here and there, but which leads me to hope that maybe he's going to come to WWE. Although if not there, I would love to see him go to Impact and kind of pick up, like, just like he was that just unbelievably fitting NWA champion. Imagine him with the Impact belt too, and bring some prestige to that. So either way, that'd be cool. Cardona coming back is actually a pretty exciting idea.
Especially if he was given creative, sort of a little bit more creative reign, which he's proven he can run with.
On the women's side, I expect there to be some surprises. We could see a Chelsea Green come back. I've heard her rumored as far as maybe taking the place of Mandy Rose in Toxic Attraction.
You
may just see them just get called up, that type of stuff.
As a tag team, let's just talk about the build of Raquel Rodriguez going forward, too.
Yeah,
right? I mean, I think that's
she might
be
your winner. She might be your winner Ronda. And are we going to build to Rhea and Bianca?
Or like we just chatted about this to Tex, there was Rhea got bigger. They got bigger plans for Rhea. Bigger plans for Rhea.
Yeah.
It's just such a cool time of year.
It's a cool situation there. And then of course, Mania is just going to be wild, especially if you do have The Rock involved, if Cena gets involved somehow, if you get that Austin Theory and John C, if you get a Stone Cold involved,
Logan Paul. Be excited for that. I am excited for Logan Paul to come back. Apparently he's going to be ready to go for Rumble. So who knows?
There's a lot to look forward to. It's funny. I was watching the Universal Wrestling Pod. They're doing their year end awards and they were talking about match of the year. And they had a couple of good picks for it. One was the Ospreay Orange Cassidy, ironically, match, which turned out to be quite the match. What was the other one? Jeez, I just went blank on it. But Sheamus and Gunther. That was a pick as well. But honestly, a sneaky match of the year for me was Logan Paul and Roman Reigns.
Oh, 100%.
Because you went
just into emotionally, it was so fun.
You went into it thinking, is this going to be just an absolute joke?
Dummy,
and it turned into like you're sitting there going, holy shit, Logan Paul's going to
win.
So Logan Paul being involved. Now, if you take that anticipation after that match, and now you build the storyline, he makes this comeback and he says, you know what, Roman, I was this close to take the title and I'm going to win the Rumble and come after you. Now you got that anticipation. Yeah. Like, are you serious? Like,
oh, there's so many storylines built in here for this season. So we got Elimination Chamber, I think, coming up in February. That's going to be big. In Montreal. And then we got apparently the rumor is KO and Reigns at Rumble for the belts. So all kinds of stuff.
What about the rumors of Brock and Gunther?
Oh my God. I would blow my, you know what, for that. Like, yes, give me all of that.
Oh my God.
But that'd be cool just to see the interaction between Imperium and Brock too. Brock not even needing a faction to go up against one of the most intimidating factions right now.
Or maybe Brock does get a faction.
Or he does get a faction. Yeah, fair enough. With like Gable Stevenson's or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like all the Olympic guys. Like
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Or who knows? Who knows what the heck's going to happen?
Who?
Well, yeah, some crazy stuff. So I think there's some exciting stuff for the professional wrestling world in 2023. So let's not all just poo-poo it right off the get-go in January if the Rumble winner is if it's Batista win the Rumble again or something like that, please don't poo-poo it there.
Just let it happen.
Yeah. Let's just go.
Shawn Michaels' last run. Just let it happen.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we'll touch on one last thing before we get going here, because we want to talk about one last topic, and it's exciting topic for us because we're talking about the growth of the brand that we recognize as Wrestling with the Truth.
That's right. Some,
you know, you want to do your catchphrase here?
Big things popping, little things stopping. I forgot that it's actually my catchphrase and not someone else's who totally didn't. I totally didn't steal. Yeah, big things on the rise, and hopefully it's going to be a good 23. So we're both excited for that. Everybody's excited for what's going on, and yeah. I guess we'll let the people in on a little bit of a behind the curtain. We're working on some deals and maybe some potential sponsorship going forward. So that's fun, and some future changes to the show, and some new content, and maybe some rebranding. So I think it's going to be a good year for everybody involved.
Yeah, so we won't announce who the sponsor is, but we're working on a deal right now to actually have a show sponsor, and that's hopefully for Jan 1 that'll be happening. Yep. So we're pretty jacked about that.
Yeah, very excited about that.
You mentioned it, possibly some while still having Wrestling with the Truth, of course, this is our core right here, but we might be branching off into a couple of other side projects that should really I guess cover off our passions, I would say, within this whole genre. There's some other stuff that's going on that might involve like an overall encompassing part of the family that is Wrestling with the Truth, but we're working on that stuff as well. I mean, lots going on. So expect more big things from us in 2023. Expect more guests, expect more interaction, more just content. Expect better content as well. We're putting our blood, sweat, and tears into this stuff. We're trying to make some really engaging videos. We're trying to look at different ways to get the product out to people so that it's the best product we possibly can do, the best sound, all that stuff. You know, I'm sure Jay will have 14 other new pieces of equipment that'll
true story.
He literally will come through the earphones and grab your ears, you know.
It'll be a VR element.
Exactly. Lots going on, and you know, we couldn't do it without, you know, people supporting us. I mean, we could just
good
be sitting here on
like you.
Yeah, we could just be sitting here on
NPR or something. We couldn't do it without the support of our dedicated listeners.
We should give a phone number so they can call and pledge. Yeah,
for the pledge.
But yeah, we are pretty excited. So more news to come in January. I think that first episode back, we'll probably be making a few announcements about some different things. All good. All good. So we're excited, and I think I'll finally be able to kick Jay in the ass to do something that I've been bugging him to do too. So
it'll be going to be some new, fresh things all around, from the show, from environments to everything. So it'll be good.
Yeah. Maybe we won't get that trademark infringement if you change it to Little Things Stop and Big Things Popping. Huh?
Oh, that's a good, I don't think he actually has a trademark, so I think we can just keep stealing it.
What about, oh, you didn't know? We'll just keep saying it until we get a cease and desist.
A cease and desist. And then we'll frame that cease and desist letter.
Exactly. Anyways, looking forward to it. Jay, I will say a big thing. I always say a thank you to, you know, family, friends, everything. And of course, my wife, my son, who put up with me doing this thing like just all the time. But I want to say a big thank you to you, because partner, it's great to have you back. It's great that we've been able to do the second half of 2022, and I think we just fell right back into the groove and put out some of our best content. Yes, and we haven't even done a top 10.
We haven't even done a top 10.
We got to get the top 10s going again.
I echo all that sentiment. It's been a fun, wild ride, but quick. Like, it went really fast, which I think is a good sign that we were having a good time. So I thank you for all that you do and all your efforts and all the dedicated promotion that you do, because we all know, and it's not hard to know that I'm pretty shitty at that. So so gonna get, it's on my list to do better. But anyway, it's a big thank you for that and all the support that you give the channel and the show. So big win. And thank you to everyone and all the listeners and everyone involved and everyone that's even done one download. We appreciate it, I guess, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, for sure. We just need one from Antarctica so we can overtake Ted.
I'll settle for the South Pole. We can do the other.
There you go. couple of penguins down there hit the wrong button. All right. Well, that being said, we wish each and everyone that hears this episode a safe and happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Enjoy your time with family and friends. Be safe. Be happy.
Rest up.
Rest up. Be ready for 2023. Be ready to support us even more and hear some more great stuff and interact with us, because that's what makes this really fun.
Yeah. Agreed. I echo all of that. All of the best, all the merry wishes go out to everyone and your family and everyone for a great and prosperous 2023. And yeah, on that note, I'm going to steal your shit.
All right.
Are out of here.
Jump on board the ho 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 train.
Don't be a slap nut.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
The island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you.